This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast, episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rip. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When's ready.
I feel like Neanderthal staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Off in 30 minutes, 6 seconds, I disperse to the world of unruly. Where I put the mic down and pick up a sack and a toolie. If you knew me, you know I always had a passion for riddle and writing. But lately I've been thinking about taking chances to brighten my future financially, so please don't be mad at me. I gotta do what I gotta do, no shit. So I tell my nigga front me, let me put it on the strip. They give it back when I think about the consequence. Shit.
There are times when you need someone.
I will be by your side. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society, and I must start the way I always start by thanking you first and foremost for taking whatever time out of your day to come and chill with me, listen to these random ramblings, whatever it is I do here. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and that does mean a great deal to me. Man, this may be a short episode. My daughter is still in Maryland on vacation, so I haven't had, you know, my daddy-daughter time with Chef Elise. Not a whole lot to report there. And when she's not around, my life is just it's pretty boring. So I don't have shit to talk about. I don't really leave the house that much when she's not around, so I don't interact with people that have stories to tell and all that good stuff. It sounds depressing, but it is what it is. Man, I don't know. I guess, you know, I'm going to start the episode the way we always do. You know, whether she's here or not, she's still a part of my life, so I got to do the Chef Elise report.
Out of Pepe!
You know I am. Like I said, she's off in Maryland visiting family and all that good stuff, and I'm getting pictures and reports, you know, on a fairly regular basis. Looks like she's having a good time. Went to the beach. I think she found some cool shells and stuff. I'm trying to push this whole geodes thing. Like I don't even know how I got on it. I know I've been doing like the little science kits you can get where you can grow crystals and stuff like that, and then we did one that was like specific to geodes, and then I think I got her one of those some sort of kit where you're supposed to be like mining for jewels. Like they give you like a block of sand and then like a whatever you call a mallet and a little pick or something like that, and you gotta like pick through it. And I bought it, and I know when I bought it, it said on the box like 8 and up, and my daughter's like 7, so I'm like, you know, she's advanced, whatever, this is what we're gonna do. We get in the 8 and up box, it don't matter, Chef Elise can do it, it's what we finna do. And I bought it, and truth in advertising, it was for 8 and up. A 7-year-old definitely probably couldn't do it, trying to pick the sand. Sounds soft until it's like compressed into a brick, and then you're trying to like pick these small ass rocks out of it with a mallet and a pick, and that it wasn't cool. I barely could do it. I don't think, you know, she could really do it. We tried even like soaking the brick of sand in water, thinking that would soften it up, and that just meant that when I was trying to pick the rocks out, like the shit was sliding off of it. Just like, yeah, read the boxes and believe what they say sometimes, because it wasn't a good look. But we eventually got the little rocks, and they had a piece of paper where you could, you know, identify what each one was. And I felt like a good dad, like I was getting her into geology, and she seemed to have a good time with it, even though I had to do all the work. But yeah, I was trying to push the whole geodes thing when she was looking for shells. Like, well, did she find any cool geodes? And it's like, no, because, you know, what 7-year-old is doing that. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe it'll pay dividends later, you know, later in the future. We'll see. The only other thing I got a report from about Elise that was kind of cool is, I guess, that, you know, like I said, they went to the beach. And my daughter has this thing where, and this is sad, because, you know, at 7, she thinks she's an expert in a lot of things. Like, you know, she thinks she tells people she taught me Spanish, Because I think, you know, I counted to 10 in Spanish. I don't know a lot of Spanish, but I know a few things. And, you know, I know she's been taking Spanish since, like, pre-K. Like, you know, we in Texas, so, you know, you got to learn it. And they've been doing that. And her mother's been doing that. She's got, you know, friends of the family that are, you know, Hispanic. And so they speak Spanish around her. And it's a whole thing. She can say a lot more than I can say. And her mom can have conversations that I don't understand. You know, not cool, but it is what it is. But, you know, she heard me, like, count to 10 in Spanish or something like that. So now she tells people that she taught me Spanish. And I feel some kind of way about it until her mom hit me, you know, this weekend and was like, oh, now Chef Elise, you know, says she taught me how to swim. And I'm like, yeah, all right, well, now I feel better. You know, I'm not the only one that she has to educate as a parent. But I worry about that because that's a hard life if you, at 7, already think you're smarter than the adults around you. Because, it's a lot of things you're going to need to learn and pick up. And if you feel like you know more than the people that are supposed to teach you these things, man, it's going to be rough for you. So I don't know how I'm going to negotiate that with her, like navigate that whole thing. I know that that's like a natural kid stage where they think that they know more than you. But I thought that, you know, we might get there when she was a teenager or something, like at 7 and she's already there. Like, that's dangerous territory. But that's pretty much all I got for the Chef Elise report. You know, GOs, I don't know if it's a hit or not. I'm getting tired of saying it over and over again. Like, did you find I already had this reputation and like me constantly talking about GOs is just like, it's the nerdiest thing I could possibly do. I'm not no diss to being a nerd, but, it feels unnecessary at this point that I just keep geo. Like, why I gotta be that specific about the rocks? Why I can't just say, did you find any cool rocks? But I'm trying to be educational when I can. We'll see how it works. We'll see how it goes. I had an interesting conversation with my mom the other day on that note, on just like how do you teach spatial awareness? Like, there's so many things that I feel like are a part of my makeup that I don't remember anybody specifically teaching me. Like, you know, like we were talking about it in terms of, I bought a membership to like Sam's or Costco. I don't even know which one. That's how, you know, infrequently I go. I think I've been once in like the year that I had a membership, but I went and I didn't enjoy my time there because it's a lot of people that go there. I gave her the whole breakdown of the makeup of people that are there. I don't want to do that because that might get me canceled, but I'll just say the people that are there don't seem to be aware of their surroundings or oblivious to people around them. They just, you know, park carts in the middle of the aisle and it'd be like 8 of them and they all, you know, go to different sections of the aisle. So it's not like you could go around the cart because they on this side and they on that side. And it's just like, you just didn't at any point think, you know, I need to maneuver in a way that makes it possible for other people to move around me or continue their shopping as well. Like, it's not just all about me. And I was talking to my mom about that and I'm just like, I don't even know. Like, I'm trying to teach that to Elise because Elise is very much the same way. She just, and this is just kids. They just, you know, they're in a bubble and, you know, you accept it from them because they're not old enough to really understand. But I'm like, I'm trying to teach her that, like, you know, you have to be aware of, you know, where you are in space and how you may be affecting other people and be considerate and, you know, of what, you know, what other people might need to do. And if there's a way you can do what you're doing that doesn't impact the folks around you, like, that's the way to do it. And I was just asking my mom, like, I don't remember that being like an actual lesson. Like, I don't remember you teaching me that. As I was saying it, I was thinking it wasn't like a lesson. It was just one of those, man, boy, get out the way, like smack you upside of the head. And every once in a while, you just, after a few of them smacks upside the head, you're like, I ain't trying to get smacked on the head no more. So when you somewhere, you like, look, am I in the way? All right, cool. All right, I can stop now because I don't have to fear getting smacked. So maybe that's what it was. I'm not necessarily trying to go that route, but I don't know how to like teach her that. And then I don't know if I can teach her that because, you know, in her head, she already know more than I do. So it's going to be a struggle. But hey, that's really all I got for the Chef Elise report. It's uneventful. She's not here and I miss her. I miss her to death. Can't wait for her to get back. And hopefully I know she's gonna have mad interesting stories when she gets back, and so these episodes will pick up again. You know, my fault that y'all have to go through this, but people go on vacation. Whatever.
Out of Pepe.
You know I am. So to the episode. Like I said, this might be a short one because without my little girl, you know, life is uneventful. But yeah, I said, what's going on with me right now? I'm starting a new job. You know, I got a new job. I think this is a good career move for me, and I'm looking forward to it. The crazy thing about it is, me and Draymo from the Psychopath podcast, we've been talking about like doing a series on mental health. I think, you know, people seem to have related somewhat to, you know, clips of my show a while back about, you know, sobriety and, you know, how I handle not drinking or being around people who do drink. And so, you know, that the idea came up that, you know, mental health is something that people seem to be interested in or might, you know, be able to take something away from conversations about that. So let's do that. And, you know, one of the things I told her that it might be a good topic for us is imposter syndrome. Because, yeah, it's something I almost feel about imposter syndrome the way I feel about like gluten allergies. And please don't get upset. Like I'm sure gluten allergies have always been a thing. Like I'm sure that that's been a health concern that people have had, and maybe it was not talked about as much, or maybe people weren't aware of it, so they didn't talk about it. But, you know, to a lot of people, it's like shit came out of nowhere. You know, what the fuck is it? Why all of a sudden is it like, you know, a huge concern or whatever? That's how I feel about like imposter syndrome. I feel like it was always ever present, always there. Maybe we didn't have a word for it, or maybe there always was a word for it, but people weren't talking about it. So it wasn't, it wasn't just in general knowledge. It wasn't in the general lexicon, if I can use that word. Hopefully I'm using it correctly. I never know. But, you know, as I've learned a little bit about it, I'm like, that's me. You know, I normally walk into situations. I used to just think I had an inferiority complex. Like I just entered situations with the belief in my head that I was less than and I had something to prove. And usually at some point, like it flipped and I went from, you know, not thinking I was good enough to overconfident, cocky, maybe arrogant, and trying to balance that out. But now I'm seeing that some of it is, you know, I guess this idea of imposter syndrome. Like I feel like I'm not what, you know, people think I am. Like, you know, you interview for a job and you get an offer, and these people they talk to you, they got a sense of who you are, and they decided that we will offer you this much money to do this job. And sometimes I get them offers and I see that dollar amount and I'm just like, you know, do they know who they're hiring? Like, you know, am I worth this? And, you know, and I have to tell myself, well, they think you're worth it. They obviously think you're worth it. So maybe you are. Like, just go do what it is you do. You ain't do no lying and you know, and stretching the truth in your interview. You represented what you know and who you, what you're capable of. And that's what they pay you for. So go be that. And that's all you have to be. But that's always been a struggle for me, is like entering those situations and being comfortable with that I am worthy of this. I am worth this, you know, and that what I bring to the table is enough. You know, I don't have to scramble and try to be something that I'm not, you know, or try to live up to some expectation that nobody else has set. Like nobody has said, you're not doing enough. You're not, you know, you're not working hard enough. Like nobody has ever said this to you, but you're always afraid that you're not. And one day you're going to be found out and they're going to realize they overpaying you, or they realize that you're not, you know, worth whatever it is on that paycheck. And like, I don't have to live in that fear. They made this decision based on what they know about me. Like, if they this confident in me, maybe you should be that confident in yourself. And I'm trying to get there. But it's crazy because I'm leaving one job. And a lot of the reason I was leaving was this like imposter syndrome sort of feeling. Like, you know, when I came to that job, I told them what I was currently making. And I told them what I was asking for, which was, of course, a little bit more than that. And they came with an offer that was, you know, way more than what I was asking for. And that has always put me in this position. Like, what is it that they think I am? Like, I wasn't even saying my worth is this. You went well above what I said my worth was. And now I'm worried that I ain't worth that. But that was their decision based on, you know, the person that they met that I presented myself as. And so, again, it's like, if they are that confident in me, you know, why can't I be that confident in myself? And it's, I've been there like a year and a half, and I don't think it's ever changed. Like, I've always been worried, like, today going to be the day. Did somebody figure out that, you know, I'm a fraud and I'm not, you know, I'm not, I don't have the skills that they think I have. And it's so crazy because it got to the point, like, as I'm putting in my 2-week notice to resign, you know, in my head, they should be like, whew, like, man, like, now we don't have to fire this dude. Like, you know, like, that, like, good riddance. We're glad that you're moving on and you're moving on, you know, peacefully. I almost expected them to respond to my 2-week notice with a, you can just stay home. Like, you ain't got it. We only need the 2 weeks. Like, just chill. We'll pay you out your PTO, you know, best in all your endeavors. Holla. And then when I started getting, like, meeting requests from my bosses and stuff like that, you know, it was like, all right, that's what I'm expecting the message to be. Like, yeah, we got you 2 weeks. We appreciate your service. You can roll out. We good. And then when I get on these calls with them and they're like, you know, is there something we could do? You know, they've gone to the point where they're like, is there a position here we could carve out for you? Like, we'll create, you know, a job that's more in line with what you want to do to try to retain you. And I'm still like, really? For me? Like, y'all would do that for me? I'm so uncomfortable at this point that, you know, I think I should leave. And I may be leaving to go do something that I know I can do rather than something that they believe I can do that I'm not sure I can do. But it is also a leadership position. So I'm moving into something that's more in line with where I don't want to be a cog in the wheel for the rest of my career. I do want to, you know, boss up until this podcast shit starts taking over. Until y'all start buying the shirts and stuff like that, and y'all make it so that I don't have to click this mouse button every day. I guess, you know, this is what I want to do. And I don't want to be just a frontline soldier. I'd rather be, you know, trying to work my way up to general at some point. So I don't know. It is what it is. But that's a thing that's been going on in my head that I've been dealing with. And, you know, I come here to, you know, confess my sins, hoping that somebody can relate. So I thought I would drop that in there. Like I said, don't really have a topic for this episode. I played that particular clip to start. I normally try to tie in the music with something that I want to talk about. And I played that one because I've been trying to be a better uncle recently. You know, when I was growing up, I think I talked about it before, my dad wasn't really around. And my mom had, you know, quite a few brothers. And it was always like a big concern, you know, with my father not being around. Like, you know, he's a boy. He gotta learn to be a man. Is he gonna be tough enough? Is he gonna be masculine enough? I'm growing up in a house with just my mom and my sister. Like, he growing up around women. My best friend is my aunt. You know, we hanging out a lot. So there was definitely a concern amongst those men that I needed that male role model. And they all, you know, chipped in. And a lot of my personality and a lot of the things that I say, you know, I got shirts in my merch store now to say, don't thank me, thank God. And that's straight from Uncle Clinton. You know, that's one of my favorite uncles. And when they're all my favorite, I don't, that sounded fucked up. but yeah, they all chipped in. And I know, you know, my Uncle Clinton specifically, the last conversation I had with him before he passed was about my nephew. And he was just concerned that, you know, he was in the same sort of situation I was in growing up. And that he wanted me to kind of be there for him the way that they were for me. And that was some years ago. He passed, you know, shortly after that conversation. And that's always, like, weighed heavily on me that I haven't been that. I'm only about 13 years older than my nephew. So we grew up more like big brother, little brother than nephew, uncle. But I still feel like I've slacked on that a little bit. And so I've been trying to do this thing where, like, you know, we having conversations, you know, at least once a week, We talk on Sundays, and we just chop it up. How you feeling? You know, what's going on? You know, I got this self-help book. I got a copy for both of us, and like, you know, because we share a lot of the same issues. I see a lot of myself in him and the stuff I went through dealing with anxiety and depression and imposter syndrome and not feeling good enough and some of the things that come with, you know, not necessarily having your dad around or just growing up in the environment that we grew up in. And so I've been trying to have these conversations with him on a weekly basis to kind of like, let's work through it together. I can help you, you know, skip past some of the pitfalls that I fell into. I relate to you. I understand you. You know, let's help each other. Let's see if there's some way that I could be a better uncle to you. I'm a benefit from it, and I think that you could benefit from it. And the conversations have been really dope. And we talked today about like traumas and you know, trauma that happened to us in childhood and like how that's affecting us today. And he was talking about some things. And then, you know, when you're talking about trauma, you're talking about things that people, you know, have done to you, or, you know, situations you've been in that hurt and that still hurt. And so he was talking about some of that. And then the conversation kind of drifted toward like when you are confronting the people who maybe have done some of these things and then, you know, like not getting the response back that you would hope for, like not getting the, yeah, I can see that, you know, I'm sorry I hurt you, my bad, that is my fault, I was wrong, and all of that. And my message to him in that situation was forgiveness, that, you know, that really your people have done things and they have hurt you. And but if the only way to heal from that is to get some sort of apology from them, that's putting yourself behind the eight ball, because you can't control people. They may have heard you. They may have heard exactly what you said, agree with you wholeheartedly that they fucked up, but it's not in them to say I fucked up and to give you that apology that you're looking for. And so you can't really be hanging on that or delaying your progress or delaying your healing because you need something from them. Like the step I was trying to encourage him to take, if you can, is to find a way to forgive them, whether or not they deserve it, whether or not they understand that they did anything wrong, acknowledge that they did anything wrong, apologize. Like, you're not forgiving them for them. You're forgiving them for you, so you can get that off your back. And while I was saying all of that, we'll be talking about other people. It was like I had to stop myself. Like, hold on for a second. When we talk about this stuff like forgiveness, we talk about all the virtues in a person. We talk about, you know, generosity, forgiveness, honesty, you know, kindness, all of those things. We normally talking about them externally, like how you treat other people. And I think for him and for me as well, and like this is also addressing some of that imposter syndrome, the first step in all of that is to be that to yourself. You know, be kind to yourself, forgive yourself, be generous with yourself, be compassionate with yourself. Like, you have to, I don't want to get into the you have to, you don't have to do shit, but die. And I mean, you ask certain people, you ain't got to do that. But I think it's important to be those things to yourself. Like, you know, believe in yourself, love yourself, like yourself. And so to relate this back to the clip, because it's taken a long time to get there. You know, one of the big issues I deal with today, and I talked about this on the 300, is like, getting outside of my personality because I'm trying to defeat some image that, you know, people have of me, of Carlton, or I've been called a coon. That's a whole situation. But that's you know, whatever. I'm going to have dude on the show, and we're gonna work it all out. And shout out to everybody who heard that question on the 300 and then hit me like, man, who called you a coon? Nigga, who? Get names. Like, who said it? Like, nah, it's not like that. But I appreciate y'all. But I be fighting that kind of stuff, and then I'll go and I'll change my personality, or I may lean too far into trying to disprove that, and then, you know, fuck around and become somebody I'm not, or do something that's out of my personality, that's out of pocket for me, and then I had those moments of regret and guilt, you know, because of something I did. And like I was saying, you know, the same way with those traumas and stuff, like you need to forgive people to be able to let that go. I got to be able to forgive myself, understand why I did what I did, learn from it, you know, make better decisions in the future. But I can't hang on to that. Like, you know, I can't, you know, I got to feel a certain way about myself because I made a mistake. And now you make mistakes. I've been talking about getting on this treadmill for the 4C conference in Cleveland. For I'd have known about this conference for fucking ever. And in my head, I'm like, dawg, I'm going to be so in shape by the time I get up there because I got mad months to get ready. And I got my regimen in my head, and this is what I'm going to do. And here it is, a month out, and I just started. I actually started because I'm like, oh, it's June 22nd. The conference is in exactly 1 month, so at least I can get a month in. And so I've been on the treadmill like every day since then. But I know in my head, like, you know, something may happen. I may miss a day. And in the past, like missing a day, I feel like all the progress is gone. Everything that I've accomplished with all the consecutive days would be gone. And then that like prevents me, like now I don't even want to do it no more because I done fucked up. It's like, nah, just, you got to forgive yourself. You got to move on. Before you can forgive other people, you got to extend that kindness and that generosity and that compassion to yourself. And I think that may have been something that, you know, he needed to hear today. Because as much as, you know, we were talking about the traumas and things that have happened to him because of, you know, the parts other people played in him, there's days that, you know, I know he's looking at himself in the position that he's in and he's not happy with it. And he feels some kind of way about himself. And when he starts looking at himself that way, it makes it hard for him to step out in the world and actually make the progress and do the things that he needs to do to improve his situation because he doesn't feel good enough. And it's like, nah, you got to forgive yourself. You made the best decision that you could make at the time with the information that you had and the person that you were. If you look back and you learn from it, you're better today. And so forgive yourself for whatever it is that happened and try to move on. And so once again, to try to get back to the clip, because this has been the longest road to circle back to this shit. I think about that one. The name of the song is like ROTC, Real On Time Conscious. And but in the song, he's just like talking about like trying to be, got this rap thing going and the rap thing is not working. And you know, and then like his friends being around the environment that he's in and seeing his friends and what they doing and money is coming in. And he's like, you know, in the moment, making that decision, like, yeah, front me, let me put that on the strip and then give it back when you think about the consequence. Like, that's what I feel like I've been going through a lot. Like, I'm seeing situations with other people where I would rather be more like them than like me because if it looks more comfortable or it looks, you know, more inviting, I wouldn't have to deal with these comments or I wouldn't have to deal with, you know, like defending who I am. And then I'm like this close to like flipping that switch and going that way. And sometimes I do flip the switch and do a little too much. And then I got to reel it back. Like that my conscience hits and it's like, I don't like that guy. I don't like that dude. I got to reel it back. And at the same time, I got to be able to forgive myself for making that mistake, for going there. I know what it was. I know the motivations behind it. I know the things I need to work on to prevent me from going there again. But it happened. You know, can't take it back. Forgive myself and move on. So whatever it is, you know, that's going on in your life, if you got something that you're holding on to that you not happy with yourself because of something that you did, like analyze it, see your part in it, you know, what you did, what you could do better. And if you can take those lessons away from it, then you don't have to hold on to that. Forgive yourself. The same compassion and kindness that you would show a stranger, you know. And it don't matter whether or not you feel like you deserve it. You don't have to deserve it. And most of us, if life gave us what we deserved, we'd be fucked up. So, you know, you haven't always gotten, you know, the payback for everything that you did. The world, the universe, God, whoever has shown you that grace, extend that grace to others. But before you do that, extend that grace to yourself. And I just want to, it's not been a funny comedic episode, I guess. Said my little girl is not around. She's the funny part of my life. I'm not that interested. But this is the other shit that I've been dealing with. And this is where I come to discuss those things. So I thought I would share that with you good people. If you made it this far, you're the real MVP. And again, I appreciate you. I appreciate you for playing Fresh and Play. And I appreciate you for rocking with me through all the tangents that we just went through. Hopefully some of that was coherent and you can pull something out of it. Hopefully you got a web browser and you can go to the whatistws.com merch store, whatistws.com/store. Cop one of them shirts I was talking about. Don't thank me, thank God. That came from Uncle Clinton. Shouts to him. What else I got in there? Enjoy the good times, endure the bad, because this too shall pass. You know, that's stuff that, you know, my mom said to me. And then this is other dope stuff, the For the Algorithm, Just Ask, What is Love? It's some. I think the shirts is dope. I'm trying to buy some DJ equipment so I could turn these radio shows into something special. So, you know, I'm not asking for handouts. You get something in return, you know. Give me a couple dollars, get yourself a shirt. And then the show just gets better. You have better content to listen to. I'm trying to sell it. I don't know how good a job I'm doing, but it is what it is. What is TWS.com/store? Go cop something. Get yours. Also, I got to keep shouting this out. Please, 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 please do yourself the favor and tune in to Opulence Radio. You can go to opulenceradio.com or you can hit up your app store, find the app, and tune in to that internet radio station. You can hear my beautiful melodic voice on there several times. I know I'm on there Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. on All on the Table Happy Hour with Raw and Raw Sass and Easy the General. That's a dope hip-hop conversation. We review underground music. We just talk about music in general. If you want to hear me get to play the shit that I like, you can turn in. Because Raw don't play shit that I like. Fuck that nigga. But, you can tune in to the Kiss the Sky Hour on Opulence. That's on Friday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. That's a dope time. I got a new show with Big Smash and Coach G. It's going to be on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. I want to say 9 p.m. Eastern. That's Relationship Britannica. That's where I will tell you how I crashed and burned in relationships and how you can avoid these same pitfalls. Who better to learn from than somebody that failed miserably? So come tune in to that. And then just tune in whenever, because there's always some dope content. All my people is on there, the whole family. It's super dope. Shouts to Amron. Shouts to DC for that. And then, like I said, I'm going to be in Cleveland July 22nd for the 4C conference, the Content Creators of Color. It's 4Cs. Like, you figure it out. Like, whatever. Go to the website or just look it up. I'm always posting about it on my social media. It'll be out there. But it's going to be a dope time. A lot of us that you'll hear on Opulence Radio that sound like we've been homies forever have not met in person. This will be the first time we get a chance to really meet each other in person and collab and fellowship, all that good shit. So I'm going to be there, and it's going to be a dope time. But that's all I got, man. If you made it this far, again, you the real MVP. I appreciate you. Until we speak again, y'all be safe, be easy, be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, you deserve forgiveness regardless. Give it to yourself, and I fucking love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest. Finest bar establishment, finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then. You might realize it later.
Love.